Right before the break, you were saying that there will be some specific legislation. I don't know whether it's already been proposed, but since we have a two-year session, there's time to put it together. Let's run through some of the specifics that this legislation would do.
So House Bill 138, which is sponsored by Senator Butch Miller, who's a floor leader, just dropped and was filed late last week. And so the big takeaways from this bill are, number one, we want to formalize that the governor will appoint the director of DFACS and that this position will report directly to the governor. That's what's been happening in the interim with Bobby Cagle, but that needs to be formalized under legislative process. Second, we will create a DFACS state advisory board. It's 20 members who will be appointed by the governor and will include one member from each of the 15 DFACS regions. One of the things that we know is that when there is accountability put in place and you have to report into someone, that it helps lift the level up of quality. And most good organizations have a great board that's engaged and involved and that they respond to. And this will extend down. We will also have regional boards. We have, as I mentioned, 15 DFACS regions, and then we will have county boards as well, which are made up of folks like pediatric health providers, teachers, law enforcement, judges, et cetera. And then the next thing is that Department of Health and Human Services, working with other agencies like the Department of Early Care and Learning, Community Health, Public Health, Juvenile Justice, and the Department of Education, will establish an interagency data protocol, which allows them to accurately collect and share data. One of the things that we know that has been happening is because everybody can sometimes get almost too worried about the privacy issues. Sometimes these interagencies don't talk to each other, and children can fall through the cracks because of that.
Two things I want you to address. One being that because you're tasked with, it's over 150 counties in the state of Georgia. So each region obviously has a different set of circumstances, whether it's based on, you know, the status or the class, whatever, but also children move within the system too. So tracking is also an issue, as well as each county may require a separate set of resources. That, I imagine, that's also something that you all looked at in terms of what needs to happen when it comes to making sure, as you just mentioned, these kids don't fall through the cracks.
Rose, you're making an excellent point, because sometimes when families figure out that people are getting suspicious, they will up and move the child. And so without that sharing of information, school systems may not know and DFACS may not know that the child has been up and moved. And we had a case last year where a child died in the custody of her mother because the mother had up and moved her away. But this would also allow state-to-state sharing of information as well, because these families often will move from state to state.
That leads me to another question, because obviously Georgia is not the only state that is grappling with this issue. So have you looked at other state modules across the country that might, so to speak, are doing it right or in the process of getting this all together?
We have been, yes. And one of the things that I would mention is that I am still currently chairing the commission, because the governor has agreed to let us continue our work going forward. We recognize this is a huge, complex issue, and getting it solved in 10 months is not doable. And we do have one final recommendation coming out of the bill, which is a child abuse registry. We are one of the few states in the country that does not have a child abuse registry, so this is a very, very important step for us.
That was leading me into my next question, which is, when a child shows signs of suspected abuse, part of the problem has been that it's been difficult for either caregivers or teachers or somebody who might notice the abuse to follow up and make sure that that is investigated. What are the recommendations of the council on that? And secondly, if the worst happens and a child does die in the system, investigations of that have been problematic as well. So what are the recommendations about those two things?
Well, there is also another House bill that we think will not have any issues passing that says that for a mandated reporter, and a mandated reporter can be a teacher, a coach, it's anybody in the medical field, et cetera, that they receive a response back in 24 hours from a DFACS office if they've received that report. So first of all, the mandated reporter knows that someone actually got it. And then within about 5 days, they have to receive a report back letting them know what happened as a result of that.
A great idea, but how feasible is it right now? Does DFACS have, again, because we're dealing with caseloads, are they able to respond within 24 hours to say we got the report and within 5 days to follow up?
Yes. Bobby has been able to add the staff.
And Bobby is Commissioner Bobby Cagle.
Sorry. I've known Bobby for years through working through the Department of Early Care and Education as well. So he's just Bobby to me. But Commissioner Cagle does have the staff now to be able to do that. The other piece of this is getting the right kind of technology. We've had some antiquated technology, particularly for folks working in the field. We have money in the budget to bring that up to the year 2015 so that we can be operating in real time.
And real quickly, the other part of that was when a child dies, the investigations have sometimes been difficult or there's not a lot of communication surrounding them. What are the recommendations on that?
Well, recently, and this was prior to the commission's recommendations, but the GBI is now partnering with the Office of the Child Advocate, and that has really helped close these investigations. Last year, we had about 540 child deaths that were deemed suspicious or unexplained. Now, the majority of those come from sleep-related injuries or vehicle crashes and things like that, but we still have a fair amount of you know, homicides and neglect issues. But having the GBI working with the Office of the Child Advocate, and we now have a Child Fatality Review Office as well, we are going to get those closed in time.
Stephanie, we just got a little bit of time, but real quickly, I want to ask you, because you have been working as an advocate for children's issues for a long time. How did you get into that?
Well, I have three children of my own.
And that's all it takes sometimes.
And I firmly believe it's a little cliche, but, you know, our future does rest in how well we grow our children. And we, you know, there is no finish line to that, but we can do a better job in this state. And I think we're on track to do that. There's a lot of positive stuff happening in our state right now, but it begins with our children.